To episode 120 of Keith and Scruff Collective. I'm Louise and I'm your host, and this episode I've basically got an audio diary of my past couple of weeks' work. I've been making project bags, tartan project bags, for an Outlander kit from With Mail podcast, video cast as well, and because I've been doing that, I've been too busy to do a proper podcast, so sorry lovely listeners. Normal service will resume very, very shortly. I have recorded over the past week of what my exploits were, and very badly again. I'm useless without a script. I have got a couple of thank yous. One is to the lovely Bobby from Illinois, who sent me a TARDIS. In the post, with no note, it came, and it even made the noise. So I now have everything a podcaster could ever want. And I tell you what, this week I could really do with it, because I'm thankful to say that I have since posted the bags. They went on Saturday, and they are currently winging their way across the Atlantic to go to mail and then go on to their forever homes. And it was a lot of hard work, and pretty much because of technical hitch, my time scale was shortened, and I didn't do anything around the house. I'll tell you the rest of it later. So this week is catching up, and things like chopping wood, and do the yearly accounts, you know, important stuff. And besides that, feed the children, kind of have to do that, not put them in the freezer. I was talking to the Playful Day on Twitter about competitive mums. I'm not a competitive mum. I never ever try to outmother anyone, but I have come across this time and time again, different situations in different places. And I feel sometimes that people are trying to outmother you by proving that they're a better mum than you, and it's all very competitive. I'm not like that at all. In fact, I often say, a good day mothering is if I haven't eaten them at the end of the day. And she said, a good day is when you don't put them in the freezer. Very tongue-in-cheek, ladies and gentlemen. Do not take that seriously. So, my children are currently in bed just now, and Buckle is at my feet, and we're just about to do a whole pile more stuff to catch up. And the logs are mostly chopped, and I can see another very busy couple of weeks ahead of me. So the next episode is going to be a Burns Night Supper, and I'll do a proper party for you. So now comes on to the audio diary. Hello. Well, I thought I would do a little bit of an audio diary as I am doing my tartan bags. Because when you're working by yourself all day, you start to speak to yourself. Thought I might as well record it so you two can listen to my rambling on. Now the crackling noise you might hear is the iron in the background, and also you might hear the wind. It is howling, and it's just forecast to get worse and worse, and I think we're getting another weatherborne, which is a massive, and don't quote me on this, area of low pressure that comes in from the Atlantic and hits the UK like a bomb. So we're expecting that in the next few days. However, now I'm upstairs in my craft room, which does have a radiator, but I don't know if it's turned off on or not. And this radiator is a heat dump, and it basically just dumps if there's any excess heat in downstairs. Currently, none coming out of that radiator. So I've got my thermal underwear on. Woohoo! And step back away from the thought of it being like Pa Brune. Or, well, no, more like actually Grandpa Brune, or one of the Grandpa Hillbilly. No. I've got some slinky merino wool upper and lower thermal underwear I got for Christmas, amongst many other things. And it's fantastic. So thoroughly recommend it. Isn't it cheapest of things? This is why we get it for Christmas. So I'm toasty warm, even wearing a hat, and I was listening to podcasts and was thinking, what can I do for my podcast next episode? Because I still am going to do an episode, but what can I say? And I've got a blather, it's better. I just have to ponder it a little bit more. And I thought, well, I could tell you about what I'm doing, because there's an awful lot to do in these bags. So I'm currently ironing and pinning, and then I'm going to sew, but I'll stop the recording before I do the sewing, I think. And there was quite a lot of preparation involved in these bags. And for those that don't know, I'm doing tartan project bags, which is a drawstring bag with tartan on the front. And this is for a yarn club with the lovely Mail of With Mail Video and Audio Cast. She just doesn't do one, she does two. And don't know where she finds the time. Well, we met when I was in America at the Knitting Pipeline retreat, which she then came forward to me and asked, she said, I'm going to do an Outlander kit, Yarn Club. And it's based on the book and series, TV series of Outlander. And I says, oh, I've heard of this. And it's based in Scotland, for some of you who have never heard of such things. And I know the ones that have heard of it are going, what? Who's not heard of Outlander? Some people haven't. So it's based in Scotland, and it starts in, don't quote me on this, 1743. And Claire is, and this is important, she's English. And she comes up on her honeymoon, and her time scale is just after the Second World War. So she had gotten married in the war, and her and her husband come up to Inverness area to trace his family from his ancestors. And they're having a lovely time to themselves, and this book is not for children in any way, shape or form. Think of Games of Thrones and Spartacus. And on that ilk, don't let the bairns read or watch this. And then one day she falls through a gap in time, and she goes up to these standing stones, and it's all based around near Inverness way. And she goes back in time to 1743, which is 2 years before the Jacobite Rebellion. So she meets up with a whole pile of Highlanders and, well, I suppose Highlandy type people, and they have adventures, and she falls in love with and has to get married to this guy called Jamie Fraser, and he's lovely. All the girls love a good Scotsman, and his tartan is the Fraser tartan. So this is the tartan that I'm doing these bags in. Now, the tartan, its family names in Scotland back in the day were called clans, and each clan pretty much has a tartan. Now, I'm from the Mackay clan, who were based in Sutherland, and they had a chief, and they have a tartan, and it's a really bonny dark green with a slight bit of blue through it, and a bit of black as well. This Fraser tartan is quite bonny. The one we are using, it's really, really nicely, it's kind of subtle in some ways. It's not garish, I would say. So when Mel asked me to do it, we crunched some numbers, Richard and I, and I went, yeah, I would love to do that. So she eventually came back to me with numbers, and we ordered the tartan. So then Christmas has got in the way, but I had started cutting the tartan first, and I couldn't cut until I had the tartan so I could make sure that I had the right size. So I have been cutting, sewing, cutting, more sewing, more ironing, more cutting ever since. And I'm was given a bit of advice to try and do it in batches of 10. So that was fine. What I've done is I've cut all the tartan up into the desired size, and I actually got on my ruler in washi tape, which is my favourite thing ever. Send me all the washi tape in all the world because I love it. And joking, I am joking. I know you'll take me literally, but I marked up my ruler, which is a big clear plastic. And I've got an Omni Grid ruler, and it is a size 6 by 24 inch ruler. And I've got an Omni Grid, a double-sided self-healing cutting mat, and this is 18 inches by 24. And it would be nice if it was bigger, both of them, because the sizes I'm doing is okay for one piece of material, but that noise might be picking up as me picking out pins from my pin box. Is when I'm doing the inside, I'm cutting it double sized so I don't have to then do another seam. So I have the front, which is the tartan, the back, and then I have the inside, which is just slightly smaller, shorter than the outsides, so it just pulls over the lip of the tartan at the top of the bag when it's turned inside out, and it just sits a little bit nicer. And then it will put a drawstring in it, which is where I get I sew a channel around the top of the bag, and then I open up the seam ever very, very carefully and thread ribbon through it. So when I'm doing one, it's not so bad, but when you've got to do multiple bags, you've got to be quite disciplined. So this is what I'm doing in numbers of 10. I have, as I said, I've cut all the tartan up, but I have not yet cut the back or all the insides yet. And once I have finished the set I'm doing today, I will be over halfway done, and then I'll have to cut more of the insides and the backings. And it actually can take quite a long time, because you know the old adage, measure twice, cut once. Well, it's true, because if you don't measure twice and cut once, then you make mistakes, my friend. Ask me how I know. Thankfully, nothing has been mucked up, certainly in the tartan. I don't know whether I was just on high alert with all the tartan, and if there was any wobbly tartan cutting experiences, I managed to save them all, and I think I was just on high alert. But with the back, which it's okay because I've got loads and loads and loads of this, I managed yesterday to cut, instead of cutting along the width, I was cutting the length, which is actually better than the other way around. But I didn't just do it once, I did it twice. So at that point of the day, I just thought, no, you have to walk away from this, because if it's not working, it's not going to get working. Have to come back to it a different day. So I'm lucky just now, because I'm at the stage where I can do sort of various, there's a needle in my pin box. What's a nice little needle. I shall keep that in my needle cushion. I have a pin cushion, but I've got 1, 2, 3 pin cushions and a pin box and a needle pin. No, a needle pin. I don't know what is such a thing. A needle cushion. And it's a pin cushion, but I just have needles in it. Because, you know, when you're in a hurry and you've got to sew a button on or something, or even if you're not in a hurry and you've got to sew a button on, and in amongst all them pins, you can't find the needle. Well, I was finding that. So what I did was I took out all the needles I could find and I put them into one pin cushion. So it's a needle cushion. And what I was saying, I'm quite lucky in the fact that if I go a bit wrong and say the sewing all day isn't working, because sometimes sewing does that, your machine constantly jams or constantly runs out, then I'm quite lucky in the fact I can go and do something else. I could either iron the inner material, or I could do sewing, or I could do cutting. So once everything's cut, I'll be stuffed then. But you'll hear about that, because I intend to carry on doing this, telling you how I'm getting on. This is me ironing another one, and I have done to date, I have done 30, and I'm doing 16, and then that'll be me halfway through. So I was just going to do the 10, because I thought if I do 10 every day, I will achieve my deadline, no problem. And I will have enough days inside to see the family, feed the dogs, you know, that kind of stuff. It's very handy that the children have gone back to school. I like this thing. I've listened to loads of podcasts. It's been great. And some music, because during the afternoon, my ears get too sore from the earbuds. And I think, I know, I'm with the old stereo. It's even got a tape deck. Sadly, it doesn't have a record deck. I have one through in the other side of the house, but it doesn't have speakers. I don't quite know why I've still got it. I'm sure Richard wants to chuck it out. But I've also got mine and Richard's single collection and the old album from on vinyl. And I'd love to listen to them all again. I never had the best of the music taste, but it would be good. It's just one of them things, you know. You have them in your loft and you occasionally move them around. So I listen to music in the afternoon, and it's been quite good. And I've not shown anybody the pictures of the bags particularly. I've alluded to the fact I'm sewing, and I've showed you a picture of the inner material that I did dye. And it's really, really bonny. It's light, and it goes perfectly with this tartan. So, right, so what I'm doing now is I sew the tartan front to the back at the top, and then I use quite a lot of pins, because you don't want your fabric to ride, and tartan can ride, and you want all your tartan to be straight, and you also want the cutting that you took so long to make precise to keep precise when you're actually applying your seam. Oh, and the other thing I have done is overlocked. I'm attached to this pin. Get off. Overlocked all the tartan so that when I open up the seam for putting in the drawstring ribbon, it will have a lot more strength and durability in that area, because that's the area that will fray first. So the whole side of the bag, and actually on the seams as well, tartan unravels. How incredibly rude of it. So it's all been overlocked. Of course, that's a little bit extra part of the time, but that's just adding to my things of, I'll not do cutting just now, or I'll not do ironing just now, or whatever. Or I had a free 5 minute period. I could just rattle around some of these tartan squares. So I've got, as I said, after today I'll have 48, and I'll be well on my way to happiness today. It's awful when you're speaking to yourself and other people are actually listening, isn't it, listeners? So that is Wednesday's video diary. Right, when I say video, close your eyes, not if you're driving, just blink fast, and imagine me upstairs in a perfectly tidy craft room, sewing with a big smile on her face, not talking to herself. Yes, well, that's not exactly what's happening, but it's close enough, and that's what I like you to think. So I shall come back in a couple of days and let you know how it's going, and this is good because it gives me some podcast material to use, and I won't have abandoned you, because I was very conscious of it. But I have not got any other spare time right now to write scripts. So that'll do for just now, I think. Oh goodness me, it's far too long. Well, the last time I spoke to you was last week, and it is now next week, which means now to you in the time scheme continuum. But today is Monday, and I think it's the 12th of January, and I'm ironing. No, I'm not ironing clothes. I'm ironing material. I'm still at the bags, and therefore I'm still speaking to you, because it's better than speaking to myself. Although my children are home, so I probably get interrupted any second now when they hear me speaking, and they don't understand why I'm speaking. So the children are home from school today because we had a terrible storm on Friday, and Caithness was absolutely trashed electrically, and whilst Richard has been out working since 5 o'clock on Friday, came back at night time and went straight back out every morning to help reconnect everybody. Our power was out from Friday at 10 through to Sunday at, I think it was 11 o'clock. Anyway, it was Sunday morning it came back on. And normally you're lucky if you get a power cut that lasts half an hour. But this one, things were just so bad everywhere. They had so much to fix, and they had the resources pretty much, but it was all hands to deck, and only just today is Jonah Groats getting put back on and a couple of other places in the county. And we had minimal damage. We did have some tiles off the roof, and the polytunnel had a big rip in the side, but I've temporarily repaired it. I have a drill and I can use it. And once I found the wood screws, which turns out we didn't have very many left, I and the bairns helped me, because Richard was out at work so he couldn't. We've put a temporary repair in. So I couldn't sew on Friday. I was quite distraught. But on Saturday morning it was agreed that I would take the children down to WIC, and Mum was quite happy for me just to sew there all day. So I had her helping out, doing a bit of ironing. And I've now got, I'm well into the last half of the bags. I'm at the stage where I've got to pin the tartan and the backing onto the inner of just 10 left, which I'm ironing the inside of the bags, which is the lining. I hand-dyed this cotton. I had to dye a little bit more because I needed another 2 metres. No, in fact, no, it was 3.6 metres at the end of the day. And that's done, no problem. So I was ironing Friday, the power went out. Oh no! So what I did at Mum's was we had a bit of a production line, and instead of working 10 bags at a time, which is really what I should have done, I just carried on sewing the sides, well, the tartan to the back, and then I've done all but 10 of sewing the insides to the sides, and then I have to sew down the sides. It makes no sense when I'm standing speaking to you. So what I'm doing just now is pinning. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. I've moved over to the cutting mat, and that kind of funny noise that you were hearing was me using a spray water, because I use a flat iron as opposed to a steam iron. Some people say that when you're quilting you should only use a flat iron, but I really like steam to get the crinkles out of my material, because I'm like a person that never has uncrinkly material when it comes out of either the washing machine or once it's been drying. Now, Mum said that the way that you get your material to be uncrinkly is to hang it on the line and grab it just before it's too dry, when it's got a little bit of weightness in it, and then iron it then. But because if I hung anything on the line just now, 90 mile an hour winds, it would have ended up in Norway. So I didn't. So on Friday, I was very conscious that the power might go out. And I had dyed the material on Wednesday night and let it sit overnight. I thought, oh no, this has to get washed through, rinsed through. So I put it into the washing machine on Friday morning. And I had put it, it was 20 minutes into a tumble, machine tumble. And then the power went out then. So I didn't get it very dry at all. So I put it out over what I had, the dryer, and it started to dry with the heat of the fire, and it was dry enough to cut, but it wasn't mega mega crinkly, but it wasn't I couldn't iron it, just had no power. So I managed to cut what I needed left, and I've given it a right good iron now. And what I actually like about it is that the way that it crinkled was the way it picked the dye up. I think I'll take a photograph of this just now. 2 seconds, because this is a good one. There we go. Sorry, I've interrupted you for me taking my social media photographs. If you're on Instagram feed, you can see that one. I just think it's so pretty. I love hand dyeing stuff. So what I'm doing just now is taking the tartan and the back, which are sewn down the width side, and I'm pinning to the left of the tartan, and I use 6 pins. The reason I know this is because I had the children helping me. They were desperate to help the other day, not so bothered today. And she says, can I help? Oh no, I can't have you helping, but I don't want to discourage you, pet. And I says, I know. Can you put the pins out? Because I like 6 for one side and 3 for the other. And when you're pinning tartan, you have to keep it. Or a kind of temperamental fabric. The more pins, the better, as far as I'm concerned. It keeps it flat, and it keeps the tartan, which has a check on it, straight and true. And on the back is just a plain fabric on the sort of back of the bag. And then I'm just straightening up the cutting of the lining fabric. And that's the noise of my cutter. And then I'm pinning it using 3 pins because it is... behaves itself a bit better, this cotton. It's just really nice to work with. You just feel like you need 3 pins because basically it stays where you want it to be. You don't need oodles. Oh, you can hear Daisy shouting in the background. I realised that I'm speaking to you. This is good because as soon as I do, here they come through. What are you doing, Mummy? Can I help? So, not as ahead of schedule as I was expecting to be, but I'm certainly not behind schedule. I'm pretty much on schedule. I was hoping that this weekend it would have been fine. I would have just managed to do everything and it would have been done by Tuesday, but it appears not. However, such is life, and wouldn't it be boring if it was just day after day after day? Anyway, so I will be doing this for a little while because I've just realised I pinned the last one on back to front. I need to have the seam in the middle facing up the way as opposed to facing down. So we've got right sides together as opposed to wrong sides together. My name is Louise and I was too busy talking to concentrate. Let's see. I think I'll speak to you on another day when I've got something different to talk to you about. Okay, that's toodles for this very windy Monday. Yes, it's still windy. It's not as bad as the other day, but I'm watching the whole Mapoli tunnel not getting any better. There you go. Can't do anything about it. Toodaloo. Well, it's now Thursday, and generally I podcast on a Thursday. Whereas today I'm not. Now this finds me ironing yet again. But, hooray listeners, the sewing is finished. I finished it about half an hour ago, and right now I have gone through, and are still going through, the clicking noises you hear is the iron, and I'm ironing to set the stitches in the drawstring channel, and also give them a nice little press just to get any little creases out, and also to iron up the little holies that you get from pins. And so it's quilters tell you to do, iron out for the holes, and you press your iron down on the threads to set them. I don't know how true that is, but it's just something nice to do. And then I'm putting them in piles of 10, and then, listeners, I've got to put the ribbons in, which means opening the seam up at the side, just where in between where the drawstring channel is, it's just under an inch, and then I have to thread the ribbon through all the way around and tie it on one side and do the same on the other. So I've got 90 bags, which means I've got to do this 180 times. And to say it's not my favourite part is an understatement. It's the one that's left to last for a reason. So I have not had a chance to podcast to you this week, listeners, but maybe when I've posted this and get a chance to stitch these three audio diaries together, then you'll have something little to hear me moan about this big job that I've been doing. So hopefully you've picked up a couple of tips. The most important thing is have precision. Mum's always saying that, and it's true, because when you are cutting fabric, even if you are three threads of a material over, think about the weft and the weave, and if you're three threads in the wrong direction, you're not going to be true, and then you have to do some fiddling, let's say. So the less fiddling you do, the better, and the easier, and the straighter, and the nicer, and the more professional of a finish. So I've learned quite a bit about myself, and I think that my cutting is much better than it was before I started, and I've been very, very lucky, and so far I'm very precise with my tartan and my fabric that I don't have any leftover spare, because I counted it up that I wouldn't need to buy any extra, but it also meant that I couldn't make any mistakes. So it's been quite stressful, it's maybe too big a word, quite daunt. You don't often say daunt, do you? It sounds like Orth Dent from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So how are you, listeners? How are you fettling now? How's your crafting going? Have you given up on your New Year's resolutions? I find myself this week eating because it's very cold. We had horrible, horrible, horrible weather, as I said the other day, and power cuts, and when it's cold I get hungry, and I haven't actually done any running because I really could not afford to miss the time for doing this, because otherwise I was going to be behind. So I'm going to have to run really hard next week and actually do the giving up of the everything that is tasty. Because anything that's bad for you is tasty. So what I was listening to just now, I've just finished listening to Radio 4's War and Peace. And it is 10 episodes over an hour each. And it's got quite a good cast. John Hurt being one of them. And the adaptation was okay. I've never actually read it before. It's one of them books everybody talks about, and I wasn't 100% sure exactly what happened. I just knew it was Russian and historical, and I'm very glad that I know what it is. And some bits I like better than others, but I think it was quite a story where I had to keep going, and just another episode, and I just another episode myself all the way through. And as I was finishing listening to the credits and the cast right at the very end, because they don't give you every episode, which is good, I finished sewing. So it was meant. So I'll have to find a couple of other podcasts to listen to get me through the next part. And one podcast, I'm going to mention this episode, has been Shiny Bees. Joe is currently based in Elgin, so I can wave at her almost from the across the Moray Firth. And she's very funny, but she was saying, oh, I can't remember what it was now, but I was in the gym on Monday and I started laughing. Now, I've often been out and about and I have my earphones in and I often listen to it when I'm running, especially with the Harriers, because I use my phone as a recorder for Strava, which is an exercise app, and it records using GPS how far and how fast you go. So I often have it on because I don't have a watch that does that yet. And that means I can listen to podcasts, which I quite like. I can't listen to music when I'm out running anymore, because if I'm running on the road, I can't hear the cars, and that's very dangerous. So if I have the podcasts, as long as I keep checking, I mean, obviously the wind sometimes means you can't hear it, even if you haven't got anything in your ears, then I'm quite happy with that. And also, I get quite calm, pretty much. But with running, I start getting quite angsty and doing my nutting. So I often listen to podcasts. It's great in the shop if you're in Tesco's and you don't like being in Tesco's. So I was listening to Joe when I was in the gym on Monday night, which was absolutely heaving. And I go in when the children are in their swimming lesson, and it's not even half an hour I get, but it's enough to do a little bit of strengthening exercises on my legs. So I'm using the weight machines on my legs. It's always at about 60 kilograms minimum. And there's me. And I always go, ugh. Take it out the hole and put it right up to the top so it's almost nothing kilograms. And then I can just about move the apparatus. I would leave it there as well. So I'm there, and I was quite lucky because everybody, when I went in, was using the cardio exercises, and I used the rowing machine just for 5 minutes, just to warm up a little bit, and then I went on to the weights. And the idea is to get some more strength in the right muscles for when I'm running, and possibly get a bit more core strength. So I'm sitting on these weights and I'm going, push, ow, ow, one, two, counting. And then all of a sudden I start going, laughing. And I got a couple of strange looks. It was funny. So if you fancy a laugh, go listen to Jo. The other thing she said was she doesn't give up things for resolutions. She actually decides what she's going to take on. And she's the same mind as me. You should always try and take up something, not at the start of the new year. Or you certainly revisit it during the year, which is what we do. We do it in March and we do it in September. So I thought, oh, I do that, but it's not exactly what I said. Of the last year, I did give up eating in between meals and puddings, except one at the weekend. It worked quite well. This year, not so much, but that's because I've been doing the bags, and it's all going to start again when I post these off to the lovely mail. Now, if you're getting one of these bags, I hope you look after it. I have made each one with love. Honest, I have, even though I'm a little bit bored stupid by them. But I have been so precise with them, and I'm quite protected of them. I don't like the dogs coming near them. I don't like the children coming near them. And I certainly don't like the husband coming near them. So when you have it, just take care of it for me, will you? And I've put my magic spell on all of them saying, you will only have knitting that behaves yourself, and you will not have many UFOs sitting in you. You will only be a bag for good. I've actually had an awful lot of time to think whilst doing this project. And some of time I came up with new blathers for the podcast. And tried to come up with some new ideas. Failed. But mostly blathers, I think. And you shall hear these when I do them. So lovely, listeners. Thank you for putting up with today's episode. I'm going to do a quick one when I've actually got them in the post. So that is today's audio diary. 10, 9, 8. Well, actually, I'm just stuck on 10. I am now putting the ribbon through the drawstrings and I've got 10 to go. Hooray! It is now Friday afternoon. And whilst I wanted to go to the post office and post these over to Lovely Mail, I don't think I will, because I'll still have to package them up and make sure that they're nice and secure and write a nice wee note and write all the address. And by the time I've done that, my bairns will be home from school, it'll be time to feed them and take them to Cookshool and a disco that they've got tonight. So I'm going to post them tomorrow and get them all lovingly packaged up, and we'll go first thing tomorrow morning. So I'm nearly finished, but not quite yet. I've still got ribbon to thread through. Now I'm using my ribbon threader, which is basically like a long plastic dangly needle. On one end it has an eye hole, and then halfway down it has a bend, and it's kind of a rigid kind of plastic that does break, because I know I broke the head of my last one. But it's better than using a safety pin, which puts a hole in your ribbon that you don't really need to have, because you would have to iron out some of them. And this one, you just thread the ribbon through the big hole of the end of the big plastic needle end and thread it through. Now I'm doing both sides in this, and I've got a really bony ribbon, and it is a 5mm, and it's actually polyester. But I was listening yesterday to the Knitmore girls, and they were saying about how satin ribbon slides and it doesn't hold, whereas this does, because I've tried it. It has a nice knot. And it also, when you pull it through, the way the bag is constructed, it holds it quite nicely. It must just be different, sturdier fabric. And down all sides of the tartan, I have overlocked it, because tartan, as woolen material, can fray. That would panic me out. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I could tell you about the construction of these bags. Lots and lots of ironing. And pressing, opening and shutting of seams. And I was a few days ago now, I was using a sleeve ironing board. It's a little, think of an ironing board, I think of a little tiny one. And it's for when you put your iron in your sleeves, and you would pop your sleeve on there and you can get it ironed properly. If you don't want to have creases down the side of the arms like I get. Because I don't own one of these, I borrowed from Mum. And this means that I could put the bag into the little sleeve ironing board and press together the seam in such a way that there is no overcrease of the bag when you're putting it all together. Because when you put the drawstring channel in, it means that the seams are sitting just nicely. And it was actually my mum that came up with this suggestion, and I heard Gigi saying it yesterday, and I thought, Gigi, you have a webcam in our house, you're so clever. There's so many things that mum and her talk the same sense, so they were obviously taught properly, and I'm not going to say old school, but they were certainly taught the correct way to do things, I like to think. None of your gash Louise kind of things. So actually kind of been very good for me to do things very precisely, very pernickety for the past fortnight. And whilst The making of the bags has taken more than a fortnight in the planning and the purchasing and the discussion and the sorting out of the fabrics. Next Saturday I'm going to Burns Supper and looking forward to it. I'm going to take my tomato sauce with me. So this is me. I've just threaded another side of the ribbon in and I'm matching the edges together and very carefully rolling it round into a knot. My fingers seem to get very finger-tied, tongue-tied, whatever the equivalent is of tongue-tied in your fingers, because it has to be perfect and it's not moving the same way I want it to go. But with each ribbon, I always cut it on the diagonal to a point so that it doesn't fray. And I bought a great big spool, it's 100 metres of, it's from simplyribbons.com, I think, and it's a Bereford's ribbon. And it's really bonny, I'm quite pleased with it. It's nice to have just ribbon that's straight off the roll instead of mushing around trying to find ribbon in my stash, because I collect it. If you feel like you want to get rid of your ribbon stash, I'll take it off you. So, that was another one done. But I'm very pleased that we've done this on Wednesday. I was really struggling because I couldn't see the daylight at the end of the tunnel. But the daylight is 9 bags away. In fact, 8 bags away because I'm on the 9th now. Woohoo! And the goodness knows when I'm going to get this podcast up. But it'll be soon, my friend. So my plans are to post the bags and then to clean my house, tidy my house, do the accounts, chop logs. I'm going to do a bit of knitting tonight. Oh, I'm looking forward to doing that. My Lush cardigan. Now, I had struggled with the Lush cardigan sleeves, as some of you know. I thought I had gone an inch past. And then when I went back to it, turns out I hadn't. Or who this Louise was, maybe he was drinking at the time, I have no idea. But I then realised that the sleeves in this Lush cardigan are 3/4 length. Now, I want a full length sleeve in my cardigan. Mum said she likes 3/4 cardigan length, but she generally wears them as layers, whereas I want this cardigan to be the layer, and I want it to have full length sleeves. And I was reading knit until 11 inches and took it as that's fair enough, yeah. And I have measured my length, my arms in the past, but it's not information I retain of how long we actually are. So I'm knitting away and then I just happened to take the tape measure from underneath my arm, or my armpit, down through past my elbow and just to see how far it was. And I'm thinking, that's just about my elbow length. Eh, what about the rest of my arm? And then the penny dropped. Oh, this is a 3/4 length sleeve. So then I thought, no. And I looked up all the projects of the Lush on Ravelry. And there's quite a few pages now. And I was on there for a while checking to see who had what and when and where and who had written that they had longer sleeves. Very little of them had written up how they did it. There's a fair few that have actually gone for longer sleeves, but only one says about actually decreasing and how much. So I asked my friendly designer, Mel, because she's wonderful and she answers me questions like this. Now, she suggested that I take a measurement of my upper arm, my middle part of my arm, my elbow, and where my wrist is, and just check to see how much of a decrease there is and pretty much just carry on in pattern, because this is decrease every 8th row. Obviously I'll not tell you what it is because you have to buy the pattern. And then just to make sure to do a bit of mathematics so that it's okay, but also to make sure that when you get to the rib part of the cuff of the collar, it is going to be in the correct amount of whatever number you need for ribbon. And I thought, oh, fantastic, that makes sense. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, I also have put together some yarn from, who I got from the lovely Stacey, which is very, very kind of you, Stacey. Thank you very much. And it's Sanguine Griffin Bugger yarn. And bugger as in it's a bug insect. And it's called Stick Insect Colour. It's a really pretty insect green colour. And it's lovely. I don't actually have very much green in my stash. So this is great. And also some lighter mint, kind of light mint colour green. And this was from her friend Ursula, who used to have Gaius Colours. I think I've said that wrong, but I spoke about her a long time ago. And she sadly since finished up her dyeing business. But Stacey had this in her stash and she thought I might like it, which I do very much. So I had looked out doing the golden skein pattern we were given for Christmas for everybody that has actually bought any of the Golden Skein Yarn Club yarn. This year were gifted a pattern that they commissioned from the lovely Claire Devine. And it is called Kuen, which is K-U-N-Y-E, which is South African for one. So I've butchered the pronunciation of that. Sorry, Claire, and all my other South African listeners. But it's a really pretty shawl, 8 type of shawl, smaller one, and you do quite a plain triangle-ish shallow shawl until you get to the edging, which has beads on it. So I've wound the yarn, but I've not yet printed off the pattern because then I started doing my tartan bags. But the idea that Joe has from Shiny Bees is to get all these patterns together for one skein items and projects. So this was one of them, and she says you don't have to use any golden skein stuff. And then I just happened to get given this for Christmas. Well, it actually arrived after Christmas, along with some chocolate. I'm munching our way through the chocolate just now, which is brilliant. So thank you very much again, Stacey, and your lovely husband, Dan. Very, very kind of you to send that, because I've never had any of that before, and I've always wondered. So it's quite cool. And what else have I got? Oh, I wound together some yarn for Sandy's socks, and this was given to me by the very, very, very lovely Sue, Travers' mum on Ravelry, who I met in Maine. And remember I said I was going to buy some sock yarn? And sadly, the Knit Picks sock yarn has ceased to trade, although they started up again, but by this point in time I have some yarn. It's the fleecy that I'm meaning, not all Knit Picks. And obviously if you have that in your stash and you're hypnotised right now, subliminal message, feel free to send me all your fleecy sock yarn. You're back in the room. And so I wound together the Wabbit Season Duck Season colours, which is dark green, blackish grey and brown. And then, wow, the bairns must have read the ticket. I must have left the ball band sitting about, because all of a sudden all I could hear was Daisy going, Wabbit Season, Duck Season, Wabbit Season, Duck Season, for 20 minutes. So I've been knitting a tension square of that just to see how I'm getting on, and I'm using my clover bamboo needles, 2.25, which is the same I used for the last time I made these socks, but obviously it's different yarn, and I'll have to do some counting. Oh, I was incapable of doing any counting this episode. Now, I would love to say and send all our love and warm hugs to a few of you just now. Don't know whether I'm going to mention you by name, but there's been, sadly, some people passing on in your lives, and I'm so sorry. It's awful sad. They knew that you loved them, and your lives will be sadder because they're not in them anymore. But just when you're having a sad day, send me a message, and I'll be here for you. So, you're in our thoughts. That's sad. So thank you for spending some time with me. I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 seems to be the number I keep counting when I'm doing this. Every time, because I do them using batches of 10. Every time I count, I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, that looks like 9. Oh, no, it's 7. This has happened a lot. And I've actually started to just particularly like certain pins. I've got favourite pins and pins that I suppose I better use you. And pins that I'm only using you because I want to do more than one. I want to do yet another one of these before I have to sit down. Kind of rather sad, and I'm still talking to myself. But yet, I'm still talking to you. Let's see, random hellos I think we'll have at the end of the podcast. And I shall have Perplexed, Goldie Bear, Tapophile, and who else? This is totally off the top of my head, totally. Martha Shmarta, Karen from the Knit 1 Geek 2 podcast. Ooh, I'm doing Flat Stanley. If any of you wish to have Flat Stanley come visit you and send me back a photograph of him visiting you, please get in touch. We have to send them all the way around the world. So far, I've got quite a few in you in America and Canada. So anywhere in America or Canada is brilliant. Anywhere, just anywhere. Be cool if it was in New Zealand too. And Australia. And Japan. And the Lost Geeks Ireland. Right, that'll do for random hellos, because Bickle wants it out, and I've done this number. So thank you for listening. Do keep on crafting, and you'll have a bit of crack next episode, I promise. I've no idea who the music's going to be from this episode. And keep on crafting.